You're listening to a 95BFM podcast.
The book Arns Westra, A Life in Photography by Paul Moon was released on the 10th of May. Westra is one of Aotearoa New Zealand's most well-known social documentary photographers, best known for her candid black and white photography of New Zealand life and culture. Some of her most notable photographs include images of life in remote areas, Māori communities, and anti-apartheid protesters who clashed with riot police during the 1981 Springbok tour. In light of Westra's death in February 2023, Arns Westra, A Life in Photography is a richly illustrated biography of her life and her remarkable and sometimes controversial practice, which continues to be debated today. I had a kōrero with the author of the book, historian Paul Moon, and Sweet Gallery and owner and director David Aslop, who is the manager of the Arns Westra Archive and Copyright, about Arns Westra, A Life in Photography. And Paul, congratulations on the book. What made you decide to commit to a project about Arns Westra?
I think anyone who's looked for images of New Zealand over the last 60 years would have come across her photographs, even if they're not aware that they're by her. So they're hugely important in terms of the contribution they make to the country. But several years ago, I started to pay closer attention to them, not just looking at them as historical artifacts, but really looking at them as works of superb documentary photography, but also exquisite works of art. And I got curious about who was taking these photographs. And initially, I went to a library to get a biography about her and found that there wasn't one. So I read interviews that she'd given in magazines, and I found there was a pattern to her answers, that she'd give very similar answers to questions asked, say, in the 1970s and then decades later. And that got me curious, because that sort of response suggests that there's a lot more going on behind the scenes. I wanted to know who was this person who was producing this huge volume of world-class photography. And so I just wrote to her, and I sent her an email saying, look, I'd like to write your biography. And it was as brash as that. And eventually she got back, and the process started.
And yeah, and so you've already kind of touched on this a little bit yourself, Paul. But David, what is it about Westra's life and practice that you are personally drawn to?
A very unique contribution in life that Arns has. Her photo archive is, without question, the biggest photo archive of New Zealand history ever. It will never, ever be repeated. The work she did in the 60s, it was a pioneering by any standard. She was the only woman working in that space for many, many years. She was consistent. She was determined. She was incredible, really, as to how she even managed to do what she did. She brought up three children by herself, largely by herself, and undertook the significant body of work, which now is regarded as an absolute treasure trove and hugely significant record on the historical side, as Paul said earlier, but also on the artistic side. And that's when we get feedback from people who are looking at the images purely as artistic images. These are the most likely people who aren't New Zealanders or haven't spent time in New Zealand and aren't coming to the photographs with an understanding of what it might be like to have lived in Rotorua or Ruatoki or wherever it is, and the reception is always overwhelmingly positive. And for my part, it's a privilege to be working with Arns' images and to be representing her legacy.
And do either of you have a particular photograph or collection of her work that is your favourite? I know that's probably a bit of a hard question.
I haven't got a favourite, but she did a series of photographs in Auckland in the late 80s, 88, 89 and 1990. And when you look at them, and I remember being in Auckland at that time, it's almost as though it's a form of time transport, that you're going back to that period, because she was so skilled at composition. She knew what to include in the photographs, little visual clues. And I think it's so sophisticated because it anticipates what people will look for decades into the future. So these things really resonate. And it's not just with me. I've experimented with other people. I've gotten to look at these photographs, and they all say the same thing. It's like this massive overdose of nostalgia suddenly hits you. But it's difficult to choose a favorite because there's so many and they're all exquisite.
My favorite is one that she took of my son and I. And think just to touch on the importance of the photographs to the people in the photographs, and the opportunity that's now allowed people who come to Arns' images sort of a glimpse of what it was like to be in a particular place at a particular time. mean, that's, the images for people in the photographs are obviously deeply personal and really significant, especially when it comes to, you know, whānau being there in the images who may not be here now. And I'm also very fond of images of my birth year and my birth city, but those are, you know, again, quite personal reasons. There are so many magnificent photographs that it's really, really difficult to choose one, but I have to come back to the photograph of myself and my son.
Westra's work has been quite controversial. She often did not check with subjects if it was okay to photograph them, and her work depicting Māori was heavily criticised by the Women's Welfare League, who argued that it was reinforcing Pākehā stereotypes of Māori as poor, rural and happily primitive, which would have a detrimental impact on the efforts to establish better living conditions for Māori. How has public perception of her work changed over time, and what's the kind of overall consensus of perception now?
I think there were some criticisms that maybe got a bit of traction at the time, but it's interesting, if you refer to the Māori Women's Welfare League, they eventually retreated from their earlier position. They realised that these were taonga treasures, and the people who are photographed in them, as David had said, you know, these are very precious items to them, and they wouldn't have those records had it not been for Arns. More generally, though, times have changed, and she was aware of that, that we've become more focused on consent and so on. If someone's going to take your photograph in public, even people want to be notified about that and want to know how it's going to be used. So there were small outbursts here and there of opposition, and there's some merit in some of that. But by and large, you'll find that most people were quite happy with the process, and particularly a lot of Māori communities were very happy with it. And the testimony to that is that you can go to some marae to this day, there are Arns Westra photographs of people from that marae on those walls.
I mean, in my time working with Arns since early 2007, I would have encountered two people who had concerns about images existing. I mean, the National Library are involved as the primary publisher now of Arns's collection through their website, following on from the digitisation project that's been completed to digitise the archive and make it accessible for everybody online. I mean, everybody else is, for the most part, very, very grateful for the work that Arns did, for the records that she made, for the honesty that she used in capturing the images, the respect that she had for people in the photographs, you know, at her memorial, with Bill Nathan, who's senior kamata at Ngāti Pōneki, saying how much they had appreciated Arns's work over the years. So it's generally a celebration of her work these days. And I agree with Paul that, you know, yes, there was some criticism, but it was quite isolated. I think probably what you read out is not a general criticism. You know, when I republished the Wash Day at the Pa in 2011, and that's, you know, with the 1964 version of the Wash Day Pa that did ruffle some feathers when we republished in 2011, and I sat down with the general manager of the Māori Women's Welfare League then, she was delighted that the images were being republished, because it was continuing the story and recording the story about what had happened, which is an important part of Arns's work.
Interesting. And Paul, the book interweaves ideas of New Zealand's national identity. How have you argued Westra's work fits into this?
She's the foremost exponent when it comes to articulating what our identity is. And, you know, every couple of years someone comes up with a book or a documentary or something that says this is our identity. And almost the moment that those things are published, they become stale. You know, the Quarter Acre section, Number 8 Fence Wire, great sort of Southern man, very sort of stoic and so on. All these sort of stereotypes, they're a bit contrived and a bit dated. And the fact is that you can't really encapsulate the nature of a country's identity in text. Text isn't designed for that. Words aren't designed to capture that sentiment. Funny enough, even film documentary isn't quite suitable for it. But if you wanted to explain to someone who'd never been to the country what the essence of New Zealandness is, if you can call it that, over the last 60 years, there is no better source to go to than Arns Westra's photography, because the scope of it is so broad. It covers just about every aspect of this country's life over that period. But it really gets to the heart of what it is. And you can look at those photographs, and even with very few visual cues, there's something about them that just radiates out to you, and you know, this is New Zealand. This is the essence of the country. This is the New Zealand we're familiar with. And it's almost like a form of alchemy. She takes these base materials of photography and turns them into this wonderful account of who we are. In reality, we're 5 million individuals. There's no generic national identity. But she got that. And so she provides a composite of those individual scenes, and you get a collective sense of the country from that. And it's a work of pure genius, and I don't use that term lightly, it really is.
And the book has had celebrations and launches across the country, including panel discussions with the two of you, as well as Westra's daughter, Lisa Van Hulst. What's that process been like, and what have the highlights been for you both?
The highlight for me has been seeing the engagement of the audiences and being able to share what I know and about Arns and, you know, speak about her work, but yeah, having people who are in the photographs in attendance or people who have worked with Arns's work for many, many years being in attendance and getting the feedback about the book. I mean, Paul's done a superb job with this biography and meticulously researched and really beautifully written, supported with some images, obviously. But yeah, getting this feedback now is really great. And, you know, from someone who works with artists very regularly, one of the things that I really try to do with living artists is to pass feedback on. Arns obviously isn't here now, but, you know, it would be, I was imagining when we were at the National Library on the stage and our panel conversation, if Arns was there listening and could see the crowd that had gathered and could see the looks on the faces of people who were just so appreciative of what she did, you know, that would have meant a lot to her. So I have that in my mind quite often at the moment.
Yes, and it's often difficult for an author because you do much of the work by yourself and you have no real feedback with the public on the way. And it's a gamble. You just write the book, you research it, you publish it, and then you wait and see. And as David has said, that the response has been overwhelming. This isn't, if you like, a major public interest glamour thing. It's not exposing a national scandal. It's not something on that scale. And yet the response has been huge. And when you get well over 100 people turning up to events, it says that her work and her personally, obviously, really resonates with so many people. And the other thing I've noticed in those big crowds is the spectrum of people you get. It's a very diverse group. And again, that goes back to the quality of her photography and the fact that it resonates with people from all sectors of society. And not only is the scale huge, as I mentioned, but the diversity is astonishing. And people see themselves in aspects of these photographs. Even if they're not in them personally, they see something that they can register with.
Yeah, beautiful. And just lastly, what do you both hope that readers will take away from this biography?
I hope they take away a better sense of the full commitment that Arns displayed to her work, the passion that she had for the photography, the respect that she had for the people in the images. You know, she absolutely loved photographing. It was her life. And she was really, she made lots and lots of great friends through visiting different marae or different events. You know, later in her life, going out with her, you couldn't go anywhere with her without someone recognizing her or talking to her. But it's a continuation of her legacy, and it's a stake really in the ground which documents her life properly and fairly. Having had access to all of the family archives and all of Arns's work material. So I think this book will be very relevant for way beyond my lifetime. It's the story of Arns, and I think people will be really interested to read it and to understand a bit more about a truly amazing person.
You know, I'd echo everything that David said. I mean, he's absolutely right, that truly amazing. But I think the hope is that people see her work, yes, for its documentary brilliance, but they see that she's one of the most important artists that this country has ever produced. She's right up there with the best in the country over the past several hundred years. And that's not just a subjective view. Arns won a number of major international awards over her career for the quality of her work. Experts have estimated that she's one of the greatest post-war photographers in the world. And it's important, I think, that New Zealanders realise that, because I think we're a bit late to the party. She didn't get, in my view anyway, enough of the recognition that she deserved during her lifetime. But I think we can remedy that, and people can see this as what it is, among much else, a collection of very serious art of the highest standard.
That was author of Arns Westra, A Life in Photography, Paul Moon, and Sweet Gallery owner and director David Aslop speaking to me about the book and Westra's practice. We'll be right back. Keep it on the Bee.
That was a 95BFM podcast. To hear more, head to 95BFM.com/BCasts.